tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
You can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Geller.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for May 6, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
But today's show, Attack on the Commons. New York's Governor's Island and the Hudson River. We talked to Roger Manning of MAGIC. But first, we have some news and information, an update on New Jersey's environmental justice law, the New Jersey Electoral Commission versus the governor, and recognitions of Harry Belafonte, Tony Ryan, and Michael Bean.
We try to start every show with good news. New Jersey's environmental justice law is now implemented 2.5 years after it was passed. We celebrate this law coming into effect, and we'll be watching how it works for long overburdened communities. The law went into effect as soon as it was published in the New Jersey Register on April 17th from Governor Murphy's press release. First, the rules require enhanced upfront community engagement before such facilities are proposed in the state's overburdened communities. Second, using community-level environmental and public health data available through DEP's Environmental Justice Mapping Assessment and Protection, or EJMAP, tool, the EJ rules direct permit applicants to avoid and minimize environmental and public health stressors, including through the use of added pollution control technology, and enable the DEP to establish permit conditions that better protect vulnerable communities. If disproportionate impacts are not avoidable, new facilities could be limited, or existing facilities could be subject to additional permit conditions.
One important aspect is that applicants must collect all public comments and respond to them in writing. Maria Lopez Nunez of the Ironbound Community Corporation in Newark said, The EJ law has been dreamed up and fought for by frontline communities historically excluded from the environmental protections that allow the rest of our state to be a garden. We are depending on this law to put a stop to a legacy of siting toxic industries in low-wealth communities of color. From New Jersey State Senator Troy Singleton, by tackling this issue head-on, New Jersey has an opportunity to send a clear message that everyone, regardless of their zip code, income, or race, deserves the right to breathe clean air, to drink clean water, and to live free of toxic pollutants. That sounds like a perfect cue for a green amendment.
Environmental justice public hearings have already been held across the state, and upcoming hearings, including one in Elmwood Park on May 11th and another in Clifton, New Jersey on June 15th, go to www.dep.nj.gov/EJ to read about the 8 types of facilities covered by the EJ rules and to sign up. Comments are also accepted in writing.
For years, I've been looking up Harry Belafonte on YouTube and enjoying the many different styles of music he performed and the diversity of people he performed with. It seemed as if he went out of his way to perform with people you wouldn't have expected him to perform with. The man seemed like he could do anything. I hope that as the years go by, he doesn't get labeled as solely a calypso singer. If you listened to WBAI's all-day tribute yesterday, May 5th, you'll know more about this important civil rights champion. And it's with an even heavier heart that I talk about the passing of one of our WBAI colleagues, Tony Ryan. Most of you will know him as the host and producer of the music program Soul Central Station, most recently heard on Saturday evenings from 10 to midnight. But Tony was great in so many ways. Smart and able to communicate his knowledge really well. One of my favorite teachers. Generous, likable, great to hang out with. A lot of my most precious memories of Tony are not for air because they can't be taken out of context. You had to be there and know both of us to realize what was going on. But they sure make for great memories. I'm still sad to realize I won't be able to add to those memories.
Michael Bean wrote and sang a lot of songs for the call that had political or social commentary. Some of them even got college and alternative radio airplay. He died at age 60 in 2010. Here's one of the last ones he wrote, Become America.
When will America become America? When will America become America? When will the home we love mean freedom for everyone? When will America become America?
America. Michael Bean said, rock and roll is a vehicle to express the emotions you are not allowed to use in everyday life. We shouldn't waste rock and roll. Rock should be looking at some of the big questions. At its best, it's an art form that inspires, sometimes teaches, sometimes threatens. Its only crime is when it bores.
Great quote. We'll be talking with Roger Manning about Governor's Island. Politicians are a factor when trying to protect the commons, and the New Jersey governor has recently signed legislation that further empowers the major political party organizations.
We've mentioned Holtec's connection to the New Jersey political machines, both Democratic and Republican, and New Jersey's Governor Murphy's recent anti-democratic actions. Today we have more information. Just 1 month ago, on April 5th, Bob Henley reported an insider in New Jersey on Governor Murphy signing a bill that, quote, gutted the independence of New Jersey Election Law Enforcement Commission, NJLEC, in broad daylight. The executive director of NJLEC, Jeff Brindle, was a fierce opponent of dark money, and the governor tried to force him out. His resignation was requested in November. He alleges that the governor's chief ethics officer called NJLEC commissioners, saying that Mr. Brindle should be fired, an outrageous overreach if true, as 50 years ago, the Election Law Enforcement Agency was expressly established by the state legislature as an independent agency.
Wow. The new legislation permits the governor to name NJLEC's commissioners without the advice and consent of the legislature, permits state and county political committees to amass what good government groups have described as a slush fund of money to cover their operating expenses, and possibly, worst of all, preempts local governments from enacting more stringent pay-to-play controls than what the state has in place. The New York Times reported on what is probably the most damaging part of the legislation. A third alteration of the bill slashes the time for investigating allegations of impropriety to 2 years, down from 10. The change is retroactive, and the four complaints filed in January, which stemmed from fundraising done in 2017, the year in which Phil Murphy was first elected governor, will be squashed, along with an estimated 80% of the agency's other open investigations. Officials have said environmentally oriented politicians will surely have an even harder time getting elected or getting good laws passed, with the party machines now having even more power over local communities. What is being assaulted is the basic democratic idea of checks and balances.
After that, we sure could use some music. About 2 weeks ago, Fred Gillen Jr. wrote the next song in direct response to the Holtec Corporation's plans to dump 1 million gallons of radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. Here's River of Money.
Was Fred Gillen Jr.'s River of Money, a love song to the Hudson River. You can hear that Fred performed that song today live at today's rally.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
We also want to honor Gordon Lightfoot, who died earlier this week. A Canadian, he joined the U.S. Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2012. He was credited with helping define the folk pop song of the 60s and 70s, and his biographer said, his name is synonymous with timeless songs about trains and shipwrecks, rivers and highways, lovers and loneliness.
Sometimes I wonder if every single public park is being assaulted by privatization. The latest we've heard about is Fleshy Meadow Park. That's where the World's Fairgrounds were. Privatization plans get put forth every few years. Clearly, developers covet that swath of green space. Mm-hmm. The latest plans were to replace public parkland with a casino, stores, restaurants, and a hotel. For more information on that, go to Guardians of Flushing Bay. That's www.guardiansofflushingbay.org. Guardiansofflushingbay.org.
And good news is that Ridgewood Reservoir has been saved. So
yes,
Guardians will have that.
We do win.
Hey, I came across some more articles about the DEP's New Jersey DEP's laissez-faire attitude toward chemical agents in our state. More next week on that.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We'll get into it for you, our listeners. We can't do it without you. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you, and we have to ask you for help, or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies like the one today, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important. Not all of us can get to remote actions, but there are many ways to support, and that includes supporting WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you, activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We have terrific premiums from a recent guest. The New York City Labor Chorus has donated copies of their CD, We Shall Overcome, with the songs we played last week. There's 19 songs on the CD. There's many topics: immigration, environment, peace, labor, civil rights, activism. It's available to you for just a $35 donation. You can find it and all the premiums on ecologic.wbi.org.
We support every environmental issue, so donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We call out bad actions and celebrate positive steps. We watch for actions to back up statements and call out empty rhetoric. Support us. We really hope that you will help WBAI and the Pacifica Network. You are hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in. You listen to WBAI and Ecologic, so be a part of it. Annual membership in WBAI is about $25, so join us as a voting member, or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for 10, 15, or more a month. Just making any donation today lets us know that you are listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950.
I've been hosting Ecologic on BAI for more than 20 years. So we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. On the website ecologic.wbai.org, we have more than 25 items from which you can choose. They make great gifts, as well as treats for yourself. Or maybe you can find just $10 a month or more to be a sustaining BAI buddy. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
And now we bring you our guest for today, Roger Manning. Tell us a little about yourself and about magic.
Yeah, hi. I'm Roger Manning, a longtime Lower Manhattan resident, many, many years. Grew up in Western New York, which has a whole environmental, a number of environmental related stories there, but in any case, I co-founded MAGIC, the Metro Area Governors Island Coalition, in the fall of 2020 when we heard about a proposed rezoning of Governors Island that would essentially pave the way for big real estate to come in and do a kind of land grab, if you will.
What's Governors Island? We have people listening from all over the world.
Yes, Governors Island is a 172-acre island in the center of New York Harbor, right in the center there. 22 acres are taken up by a national monument, which includes a couple of very old forts. And then the 150 acres, the rest of it, is actually owned by the city of New York. Originally, Governor's Island was a sort of hunting, gathering ground for Lenape people, First Nation people that of the area here. And then eventually it was an army base for many years, and then a Coast Guard base. And then it was turned over to the city around 2003, is when, a little before that, for public use, essentially.
And it's beautiful.
And then actually, it was the first European settlement. It was the first New York City. And then, actually, the island's shaped like an ice cream cone. The ice cream portion is the original island, and then the cone is landfill from when they built the subways in the early 1900s.
Oh. And the fort that's on there was to protect New York City from an invasion by the British in the War of 1812. And it worked.
Well, one of them, yeah. One of them's even older than that. And the one that you're referring to, Castle Williams, it's a round stone fort that looks like Castle Clinton, which is the fort that's in Battery Park, which is at the tip of Manhattan. They're sort of they face each other, and then it's sort of to provide a crossfire, I guess, over the harbor.
Stop anybody from getting by.
Yeah, and so the British invaded Washington, D.C. instead. They did not have that protection. So you, when you walk through Governor's Island, you're walking through history. And not to mention the beauty. I mean, it's just a pretty place. You know, birders tell me that it's a wonderful place to find warblers in the spring. And it's also a, I'm told by those birders, that seals haul up there on the southern part of the island. I guess if they develop it, those seals will not be there.
Well, not exactly. The hills are actually, when the city took over the island, there was much debate with what to do with the place. You know, there ideas were floated. There was, let's put a casino there.
No,
that's what Giuliani wanted.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember some of the other ideas, but a lot of people put a lot of time into determining that it would be a public space, essentially. It would be for the public, and that there would be parklands and this kind of thing there. And then there was development that started happening, a lot of it in a very good way. They took down old, decrepit, but not historical, really, sort of Coast Guard residential buildings, used that landfill to create the hills, what they call the hills now, in the southern portion of the island, 70-foot-high hill, which they call Overlook Hill. And that's supposedly parkland, and that's supposedly, you know, going to be there. The deed
preserved forever.
There's a deed set up in 2003 that says there needs to be at least a certain amount of acreage of parkland and this kind of thing. And so that's what they started working on first. And so those hills are in this parkland, which kind of runs down the center of the southern part, the ice cream cone, or the cone part of the ice cream cone. And then to the east and west of that park, the park is sandwiched in with by what they call development zones, 33 acres total, which are areas which were set aside to do sort of quote-unquote development. In other words, bring in structures and or some sort of, institutions or something like that that would help bring in income for the island, essentially, you know, raise some money for the island in these development zones. It didn't specify what would be there. And so, in other words, when you build stuff, it's not supposed to be in the park. It's supposed to be in these development zones. And then that leads us to, you know, the conflict that we're in these days.
So are there restrictions to what can be built in the development zone?
The 2003 deed was put together for two reasons, as deeds often are. One is to define the purpose of Governor's Island, and the other is to provide protections, you know. So there's no casinos allowed, for one thing. And there's no residential development allowed on Governor's Island.
How enforceable is the deed?
Unfortunately, a lot of these legal documents are kind of broad. They're kind of general. So, they're intentionally a bit flexible so that the powers that be can kind of do what they want to do. And Magic and 25 other people or plaintiffs, some of them organizations, are in a lawsuit claiming that the plans that have been put forth or the rezoning that happened in 2021 violates the deed, or at least the spirit and letter of the deed, actually. And so what's allowed, we're saying they're this rezoning just it allows high rise, high density commercial development, and that's not good. Plus, there's specific other elements in the rezoning that it doesn't guarantee protection of the parkland. The parkland on Governor's Island is not legal parkland. It's not subject to the protections that parklands, you know, that official parkland in New York State is subjected to. So that's another thing we're saying, you know, this rezoning is a problem.
Yeah. You keep mentioning a deed, and, you know, we have done radio shows protecting other parts of the city parks from being developed, being destroyed, and some of them get destroyed and some of them don't. But I've never heard the word deed mentioned from anybody else but Governor's Island. This is fascinating just to begin with.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. I mean, MAGIC, the Metro Area Governor's Island Coalition, and we worked hard to make that name work. But MAGIC, actually, it's such an appropriate name for people who care about Governor's Island, because the place is, it is magical. It really is. Mm-hmm. In terms of open space and sky and greenery and wildlife, actually a habitat, and in fact, you know, there's two hawks that we tend to watch out there, and I hear there's an eagle that's been hanging out in Governor's Island.
And to our listeners, if you've never been out to Governor's Island, you've got to get yourself out to Governor's Island if you're in New York, or if you're visiting New York. Get out there, because it is gorgeous, and it is, as Roger says, magical.
And those who are here now will be going out there on the 13th and invite listeners to join us. We'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah. I mean, when you get out there, it's on one of the members of MAGIC has coined the phrase, it's our country place in the city. So there's like almost a small town there, houses, old wooden houses with porches that used to serve as quarters for officers and the Coast Guard and the Army, there's a whole historic district there. And so, and then there's like open, wide open parklands. And then there's all these environmental projects. There's Earth Matter, the composting folks. There's Grow NYC, which is both of these organizations run the Urban Farm Billion Oyster Project. There's a high school, the Harbor School, it's called. NYC Audubon's out there, and then a lot of arts groups and arts and educational events, all happening in this wide open space. And, you know, sometimes big rock concert kind of things happen too. And then just a lot of bike cycling and stuff. It's like a traffic-free island. The kids go out there and go crazy with all the space, and they can ride their bikes without cars threatening them, and it's awesome.
So everything you're saying shows us that it really is a park for the people, a place for everybody to enjoy the great outdoors and to enjoy life. And it was fought for in the deed in 2003 to stay that way. So what can our listeners do to stop the encroachment of people who want to make money from it?
Well, there's a lot to know. In a nutshell, and by the way, the original name of Governor's Island is Paganuk from the Lenape, and it means Nut Island. So in a nutshell, the issue is this rezoning from 2021. It just allows all kinds of stuff. It's the gateway for big real estate. I mean, Alicia Glenn, who's the head of the trust for Governor's Island, which runs Governor's Island, originally from Goldman Sachs and a city official. Oh, and the quote is from Alicia Glenn is that Governor's Island is a quote, nice piece of real estate. Okay. And, unquote. And, yes. and Governor's Island's been on the radar for big real estate for forever. And so this, what the Trust for Governor's Island wants to do is to draw major developers there. And part of the reason is, they do want to set up a situation that brings in income for the island, but that's not legally required that the island be financially self-sufficient. It's a public resource, so you fund it in, you know, a combination of ways. But in any case, this for big real estate, they want two things. They want building heights. Well, they want many things, but they really want what two particular things are: building heights and density. That's what the rezoning provides. Buildings up to, you know, 23 stories, 26 stories when you add everything together. It's outrageous. I mean, a place that nothing's taller. Basically, the average height of a building there is 3 or 4 stories. And the other thing they want is an anchor tenant, a sort of theme. And the city put together this Center for Climate Solutions concept to greenwash this rezoning. So that's the overview of what the problem is, that as this rezoning allows too much. And so what people can do is, you know, go to our website and learn more about everything and spread the word. People, we'll be out in
government. What's the website?
And the website is govislandcoalition.org. We're on all the social media too, but govislandcoalition.org.
Well, that's an easy one. I have a question for Donna about Governor's Island. Have you ever kayaked there?
the first couple of years I went to Governor's Island, I only went by kayak. There were City of Water events. Remember that, Roger? The City of Water events are all over the city now, and so we would go from Pier 96, which is 56th Street in Manhattan, a little unknown New Yorktoid. Is you subtract 40 from the pier to get the street. So Pier 96 is 56th Street. Always good to know. All right. And then we'd kayak over to Governor's Island and, enjoy the festivities. And then New York City Friends of Clearwater had a table at some of the events there. And by the way, New York City Friends of Clearwater is involved in the lawsuit with Magic, one of the organizations. Anyway, so kayaking was started down in Governor's Island, has a little branch, Downtown Boathouse. So Downtown Boathouse, I volunteered with them many times, getting people onto the water for free. Downtown Boathouse is a great organization, as is Manhattan Community Boathouse. It really is so wonderful to be able to share that experience with people. Also, I think Harbor Labs is also in Governor's Island, isn't it, Roger?
Are those the folks, Boda, that are located on the pier there in Hudson River Park around Houston Street? They have the whole...
Well, that's Downtown Boathouse. Yeah.
There's also a lab in there too and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been to eco fairs on Governor's Island, and it's a huge number of grassroots groups, all local. Some are local chapters of national groups. And I've had some wonderful conversations. I learned a lot about what's happening to the honeybees from an entomologist there. Long-time listeners may remember me talking about what I learned from her. There's just great people. It's an atmosphere to talk with people.
It's the Bee Conservancy. Actually, today, the Urban Farm out in Governor's Island is opening up, and at 2 p.m. they'll have their Saturday tour, and that will include the Bee Conservancy and Grow NYC, which has educational and growing program out there, which provided thousands of pounds of food to New Yorkers during COVID.
Wow.
And the Urban Farm, by the way, is in what they call the Eastern Development Zone. So it's going to be squashed by high-rise buildings.
Oh.
Potentially, that's what the rezoning allows. And what I was starting to say is that a lot of people that go to Governor's Island rightfully have no idea about this rezoning or these plans. So what people can do is, you know, in the press, all you see is these big shiny articles and from the mayor about this Center for Climate Solutions and how awesome it's going to be. It's going to, you know, it's going to happen on Governor's Island. It's going to be international and all this kind of thing. Actually, that only takes up 20. Currently, the plan only takes up 25% of the development zone. The other 75% is totally open to high-rise commercial, non-academic development.
So I think our listeners know to keep an eye out for greenwashing. When something sounds good, find out.
People have been taken in by these articles, you know, so they've gotten very good at greenwashing to make themselves look good even while they're destroying natural areas.
What I'm trying to get to here is that people need to spread the word. You ask what people can do. They can do two things right now. One is definitely spread the word and through our, you know, use magic social media and stuff like that if that helps. And the other is we have a legal fund that people can support, too.
There's a third thing. Go there.
absolutely.
You know, because, you know, it's hard to not fall in love with that place. It's so interesting. Let's take some listener phone calls on this. And while we're waiting for people to call, 212-209-2877, Roger, how do people get there?
Yeah, and this is particularly of interest for one of our plaintiffs is East River Park Action, by the way. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the horrible situation over in East River Park. Governor's Island is all that much more valuable now to those residents downtown because their parkland has been decimated. And also Wagner Park down in Battery Park City, there's a whole situation there, too. To get out to Governor's Island, the main ferry comes from at the tip of Manhattan. If you know where the Staten Island ferry is, just to the east of that is a beautiful old ferry terminal, which is the Governor's Island ferry. And the ferry's free. It's $4 round trip, but if you have a NYC ID or you're a senior citizen, you're a NYCHA resident, there's a bunch of free options as well. And in the summer, there's ferries on the weekend from Brooklyn, from Terminal and Red Hook. Although there's, I think year round now, they also have New York Ferry service that goes there, which is
Brooklyn ferry address.
The best way, by the way, to get the ferry information, I suppose we should link to this on our magic website, but you go to the Governor's Island website and it tells you all this stuff. And that's govisland.com, I think is what it is. .com is, and it kind of gives you a clue there. But at the end of Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, there's a ferry dock there. Brooklyn, I guess is that Brooklyn Bridge Park still? I know it's the park on the waterfront of Brooklyn has that. That dock.
Well,
and then,
we have somebody
in Red Hook. Red Hook has a ferry that goes from there as well.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of ways to get in there.
We have somebody
who wants to talk to you, Roger. Number is 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Hello. Hi. On the subject of green, of healthy housing in terms of energy, I wonder why no one ever talks about it. Have you heard about a program? It came and went very quickly. It was when Scott Stringer was Manhattan Borough President. You remember how long ago that was? Maybe 15 years ago or something. He had a program with donated labor and donated paint where they took one square block of Cooper Square and they painted the tops of all the buildings white to see if it would affect the usage, the heat in the building. And they found that, yes, painting the tops of buildings white reduced the heat in the buildings by about 2%, thereby reducing, Did you ever hear of that program? And what ever happened? Why don't we make it required?
That's really interesting. We'll look into that.
Well, whitewashing the roof does help. But let's talk to Roger Manning about Governor's Island, and we have people waiting. So 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
And thanks for that, listener.
Hi, good morning. This is Angel. I had a question about any other models that you can look to. For example, I don't know if in let's say Alcatraz or any other islands in San Francisco that could provide an alternative to the upzoning. And what was the background of the upzoning? Was that under Bill de Blasio and essentially it's just a money grab, or is there any other ulterior motives? Like, they're not going to try to move Rikers Island there, I don't think. But I remember, I remember the casino. No. So.
The upzoning was under the de Blasio administration. Actually part of a sort of blitzkrieg, forgive me, of rezonings all around the city right in his last year of office. In fact, MAGIC, our group, is part of the citywide People's Land Use Alliance. We meet regularly or monthly with other groups from all over the city that are in rezoning situations. The justification at one point, not right from the beginning, but was that essentially Governor's Island would become a cash cow for the city's economic engine, you know, make the mayor and the administration look good, go bringing in all this money that Governor's Island would produce. And I don't know where they got these figures, $1 billion for the city economy and 8,000 jobs. But right in the deed, it says that any income generated on Governor's Island stays there for maintenance and that kind of thing, as to try to protect the island, this people's resource, from that kind of exploitation.
If realtors look at any piece of land that doesn't have a giant building on it and say it's underused, and,
it's crazy. Yeah.
So we do have another caller. Hopefully the caller will have a question for our speaker.
Angel's a question about other models for trying to save Governor's Island, such as Alcatraz.
There are actually, there's the Presidio and in San Francisco as well. There, certain way that the former army or military facility, the way that's being used has been brought up. And there's other, that's a good question, because there are other examples, but it's been so long since we've had that conversation. Let me think about that.
Angel is great for fascinating, in-depth phone calls. And I believe we have another listener.
Thank you. No.
No. Okay. So the number is 212-209-2877. And call in and talk to Roger Manning of MAGIC, the Metro Area Governors Island Coalition. We're talking about the assault on the commons everywhere.
Yes. Governors Island is definitely a great example of that. It's essentially the problem with this rezoning, it just paves the way for privatization, essentially. All these entities get 99-year leases on patches of Governor's Island. Then, it's not really – right now, the public has a sense of ownership when they go out there. It's all this open space and historic areas where you just feel like it's yours, And then all of a sudden now you get yelled at for walking on this particular patch of grass, or the park, which is surrounded by development zones, it becomes the quad for some sort of island-wide – research campus. It's supposed to be public space, and that's how it best serves New Yorkers and people from the state. And in fact, indeed, refers to that it's a worldwide resource and public space. It's a very unique place. Things like this climate center, which is it's kind of a cool idea. There's a lot of places they can be. In fact, that replicates other facilities that are already in the New York City area that are working on that kind of research. But Governor's Island, it can't move somewhere else. It's a unique, very beneficial open space.
The dumping radioactive wastewater in the Hudson River as another assault on the commons. Hudson River belongs to everybody. And, they want to make it unsafe. And there's been enough pollution that's been put in there because so many other industries have said, it's just a place to dump stuff. And now it's gotten cleaner, ever since Clearwater was established and then other organizations alongside it, it's gotten cleaner and cleaner. So what does Haltech want to do? Let's dirty it up again, but we'll do it with something invisible, radioactive. It's another assault on the commons.
People don't realize how dangerous tritium is.
It's an assault by the 1% on the 99%. And they can get people to feel like they're powerless, or else they'll greenwash it to make it look like, there's nothing to oppose here. And that's you know, rarely true anyway. And, you know, Parkland does get protected. It's not like it's impossible for Magic to win this. It happens all the time. The rally at Verplank, New York, at 2 o'clock today, I mean, you know, mainstream media has taken that up now. And it used to be just BAI talked about it, about dumping radioactive wastewater. Now commercial media is talking about it as well. There's a ton of politicians going to be there today, as well as wonderful music.
Get yourself
Williams
up there.
And Tom Chapin. Yeah.
Speaking of wastewater, actually, they've put in massive sewer lines. They've been rebuilding the infrastructure on Governor's Island, which is something that needs to happen. But they put in these massive sewer lines in anticipation of, you know, high density development. And that wastewater will go to the Red Hook water treatment plant, which is already ailing seriously, and would also receive wastewater from development from the Gowanus area, which, by the way, Gowanus Group is also a plaintiff in our lawsuit. And regarding plans, your alternative plans, Magic has an alternative plan for Governor's Island on their website, by the way.
Okay, well, it's that's not a good note to end on, except that it's something for us all to be aware of and take action on. But it is time to wrap up. So thanks to everyone for joining us this morning. Thanks to Roger for joining us this morning. For more information on Magic and Governor's Island, go to govislandcoalition.org. That's govislandcoalition.org. Join us next week, Saturday, May 13th, to hear Helen Jacquard of the Golden Rule. That's the Veterans for Peace sailboat that will be coming to the New York, New Jersey harbor the following week.
People are getting together on the Hudson River today because Holtec is still planning to dump 1 million gallons of radioactive wastewater, and Governor Hochul has been completely silent about it. Join us at the rally this afternoon, 2 o'clock on the river at Cortlandt Park in Verplank, New York, just off Route 9 and south of Peekskill. Bring your kayak or just join the folks on land. There will be speakers, music by Tom Chapin, Dar Williams, Brian McGrath, and Fred Gillen, Jr., and a flotilla of kayaks, paddleboards, sailboats, and motorboats. Donna will be on the water, and Ken and I are planning to be there with Charlie Olson to cover the rally for the Environment TV and Ecologic. Check our website for links to details.
On May 13th, we're having a field trip to Governor's Island. We'll meet on the island at 11:30 a.m. at a location to be announced via email, so let us know that you're coming. The ferry is free before 11 a.m. so on weekends, and it leaves from Lower Manhattan. Take any subway that goes to the southern tip of Manhattan and walk east to the Governor's Island Ferry. Bicycles are welcome. If you get there later, we should be easy to link up with. Email to EcoSally, ECOSALLY at AOL.com for more information and updates. The ferry information is www.govisland.com /plan-your-visit-ferry.
We've talked about Liberty State Park and the revitalization plan, so-called. On Wednesday, May 24th, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection will host an open house to provide details. That's Wednesday, May 24th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Liberty State Park, the CRRNJ Terminal Building on Audrey Zapp Drive. What a great name. In Jersey City.
We're always glad to have you with us on Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your questions.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics on our website, www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org. And we'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbi.org. leave off the WW for some reason, and on give to WBAI.org to become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic Buddy pledges. Please become a buddy.
Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
And our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. And thanks to Roger of Magic. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week on Saturday, May 13th for Ecologic at 6 a.m. with Helen Jacquard of The Golden Rule. Check out our website for details.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
good morning. You're tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI in New York. Ecologic came to you live over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Normally at 7 o'clock, you'd hear the Rick Smith Show. That will not be on today. Instead, you'll hear a special edition of Take Charge of Your Health with Crean Frenari. So please stay tuned.
A station dedicated to and sponsored by its listeners. From 1960 to present day, WBAI has been promoting an innovative perspective of news, public affairs, music, arts, health, and science. In order to provide a truly unique voice to New York City, WBAI receives its financial assistance from listeners like you. To help WBAI continue this tradition, you can become a BAI buddy by giving a generous monthly donation of as little as $10. It's a safe, secure, and simple way to support your local station. To become a BAI buddy, go to give to WBAI.org. That's give, the number two, WBAI.org.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Hi, this is David Amram. You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 on your FM dial.